Daf Lama Dalet Amud Aleph, the two dots, the Mishnah says that Dinei Minefashot, when it comes to Dinei Nefashot, Amalameid Alav, Schut, if a person is on the positive side or the side that he is innocent, he's not allowed to then change his position back to being guilty. So Rab qualifies that statement. Amarav lo shanu elo b'shat masa umatan. That's only during the deliberations. As long as we're in the deliberations, we want him to be stuck in his position of saying that the party is innocent, so that way he'll look around for other ways to find that he's innocent, because he's stuck. When it comes to the psak halacha, when it comes to the final din, about whether this person is innocent or guilty, he has to go with what he thinks is right. If he realizes that what he said was wrong, if that he thinks that his position is incorrect, then he gets to change and he can say what he really believes. So we're going to challenge this qualification of Rav. The macharat, mashkimim uvaim, the next day they get up and they come back to the beis din. Amazake omer ani hamazake, umazake ani bimkomi. The person who says that he's innocent or in his favor says, I am still in his favor. And mechayev omer ani hamechayev, mechayev ani bimkomi. So then each one states their position and where they stand on their position. Hamalameid chova, malameid zchut. Someone who has been on the negative side or to the side that he should be incriminated over here or guilty can change his position to say that he is innocent. Hamalameid zchut, the one who was on the favorable side saying that he was innocent, any achol akzor v'lameid chova, cannot that bring evidence or proofs to the fact that he should be incriminated over here. Vaha, the macharat. We're talking about the next day. Gemar dinu. We're talking about the gemar din. Meaning that we saw before that a dinei nefashot cannot be concluded on the same day that it's begun. So you have to wait until the next day to do the gemar din. You need linat din. So over here, the Bryce is talking about a case where it's the macharat. It's the next morning. It's the next morning. We're already talking about the gemar din. And yet you see, they're still locked into their positions. So how could it be that you, Rav, are saying that when it comes to the Gemara Din, he's allowed to change his positions? So, who says the deliberations can't continue on the next day as well? I mean, that just because it's the next day, doesn't mean it's automatically the Gemara Din. It could also be part of the Masa Matan still. This brace is still addressing the Masa Matan, the deliberations. All right, Tashma. Danin Elu Keneged Elu. So here we have a case where we have a we could call it a hung jury, but the Beis Din is unable to decide because they're at a position where in the Beis Din there's only a majority of one saying that he is guilty. So here we're talking about the Beis Din of 71, right? You have 36 of the Dayanim say he is guilty, 35 say he's innocent. Now we're stuck because in order to incriminate him, we need a majority of two, which automatically will be a majority of three by the Beis Din of 71. Or, in order to let him go, we need it to be the opposite. We need 36 to say innocent, 35 to say guilty. So now you have Dinin Elu Keneged Elu. They work it out between them. They keep going through the deliberations. Ashirei Achad Min HaChayvim Divrei HaMizakim. Until one of those parties before that had said he was guilty now changed his position to the side that he says he's innocent. So now that would flip it. If you flip it around, then you have 36 saying innocent, 35 saying guilty. And there you have a majority of one. Majority of one's enough to let him go free. Vemito, if you're correct at the Shad Gemar Din, that you can flip your position, the Brayshah could say the same thing, that one of the Mizakim now flips to the Mechayvim side, and now you'll have a case where it's 37 to 34. Right? 37 incriminating, 34 saying innocent, and he'll be found guilty. Then the Braisa is not giving you a lochic position that only one. They're just talking on a positive note. The Braisa says, yeah, we have to have someone change position. We'd rather have it, we're going to formulate it in a positive way. We hope that one of those that says guilty changes to the side of innocent. But that doesn't preclude the fact that someone on the innocent side could change to the guilty side. All right, Tashma. Damar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Echad min ha-talmidim shezika umeit, ruin oto kiilu chai va-umeit bimkomo. Like one of the talmidim who was there who spoke up, and he had spoken up to the benefit of the party here. So when he speaks up to the benefit of the party, he says, look, he should be innocent for such and such reason. and then he passes away. So the Mara says, or the Rabbi Yossi Ibrahim Chanina says, Rolin oto ki ilu chai v'omeid bimkomo. We look as if he's still alive, and as if he's still there. I mean that when it comes to the count, we look at this individual as being still there and still available part of the count. Vamai. Name ilu avakayam hadarbe. So why don't we say if he was still alive, maybe he would change his mind. He would flip his position to the other side. Alright. At this point, he hasn't reversed his position. So if he hasn't reversed his position at this point, we're going to assume that he would have stayed in his position. Then we send from there in Eretz, right, from over in Eretz Yisrael, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Motze Michlal Rabbeinu. So then we have from there that they say Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Motze Michlal Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu being the Rav over here. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina disagrees with Rav. The statement of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina definitely disagrees with Rav. Mar says no. Ain Motze Yitmar. Now we didn't say that he disagreed with Rav necessarily, but no. That ain motzei idmar, that it does not disagree with Rav. So according to the Havamina was that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina was a problem for this position of Rav, because here you see Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says that one of the Talmidim that was Zikah, we say he's locked into his position and he can't move even after he passes away. We say that he is still locked into that position. On the other hand, the Gemara writes back, or they write back to him and say, no, ain motzei idmar. Say, no, it's not necessarily that he disagrees with Rav, because the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is because of Adayim Lo Hadarbe, meaning that the reason we say that he can't change his position from innocent to guilty is not because he's restricted from changing from innocent to guilty, but because he happens to be said innocent and now he's not around to change his mind. If he's not around to change his mind, we assume he would have stayed in his position and he remains in that position. Now, what is the case here? Because as you pointed out, David, it's Echad Min HaTalmidim. One of Talmidim. Now, Rashi claims, over here, when it's Echad Min HaTalmidim, Rashi says, when we suggest over here, Ruin Oto is La'inyan HaMinyan, for the count. So if he says for the count, that means that he's part of the Dayanim. He's part of the Beis Din here, that we classify his position as being a position to the positive side. On the other hand, it would seem to be is that it's not necessarily that he is counted towards the Dayanim, because you can't say if he passed away, he's one of the Dayanim still, right? He's counted towards the innocent side, but rather there's a tally of the reasons given for to be guilty and a tally for the reasons given for to be innocent. And when they are tallying up those numbers, right, they say, look, we have 15 reasons to be innocent and 12 reasons to be guilty. So when he tallies that up, over here they say that he still counts towards that side that says innocent.
That's how you figure out who's innocent
or guilty. No. All right, as Gedalia points out, the other possibility is that the Talmid is elevated to Dayan on right, the Mishnah coming up that says that the Talmid, he gets a special dispensation when he speaks up on behalf of the in the capital case, the innocent side, that he gets put in the minyan of the Beis Din. But again, if he passes away, I'm not sure if he really can count towards the minyan here in the Beis Din. All right. Tashma, Shnei Sofrei Dayanim Omdim Lifnehen. You have two stenographers that are recording the case. One of them on the right, one of them on the left. And they record the positions of those that say innocent and those that say guilty. I mean, here this is in deliberations. They're not only recording their positions, but the reasoning behind their positions. Okay, it makes sense why they have to record those people that say guilty and the reason for them saying guilty. Right? So the problem is, and we learned this before, that you have to, you can never give psak halacha, or you're not going to have a gemar din on the same day that the deliberations take place. That means if, for instance, someone says guilty, and then the next day they come and say guilty again, and they give a reason, a different reason, we have to check. If that reason was not given before, that means that you have to wait an additional day before we do the sentencing over here. Because the gemar din can only be done after all new information is presented, and then you wait a night. So what we need, the reason we need all those that say guilty and their reasons written down is because we need to check. Is this individual presenting us a new reason? If he's presenting us a new reason, we have to wait an additional night before the sentencing. If, on the other hand, he's presenting an idea that was already raised before, then we will not require Alanat Adin, and you could give the Gemara Din, you can have that sentencing that day. What's the difference? Why do we have to record the positions or the reasons behind those that say he is innocent? Don't we record it because we want to say to them, listen, if they find something that's right on the guilty side and they want to say it, we say, no, you can't do this. You can't switch positions. So if that's the case, it sounds like, again, that it's a problem for Rav's position that you're allowed to switch. So, now the reason is we don't want them to say the same reason. Two people shouldn't give the same reasoning or the same logic, but prove it from different psukim. So they're giving the same argument, but they're bringing two different psukim to support it. So the reason is you can't look at that as two reasons, because we'll see in a second that when you have the same concept, cannot be learned from two psukim. So they're giving you the same logic, and they're saying two psukim, that's one reason, not two reasons. So that's why we record it, to see what the source of their reasoning is, or what they, right, how they derive their position, to see if we really have multiple reasons here, or only have one reason that's being given, but it's just being duplicated, the reason, with a different source. Otherwise, we would say, the other reason, or the Gemara's assumption here, is that if you could switch positions, right, then we'd want you to record the divrei. If you wanted to record the, if we thought you could switch positions, then we wouldn't really care if you recorded the divrei mezakim or not divrei mezakim. Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then if we are recording the divrei mezakim, it must be because we don't want you to change positions. We don't want you to change your mind about that which you said. Then the Gemara says, no. This is all related to the fact that we got to count up or tallying up the positive statements that are made in the Beis Din. Or we were tallying up the reasons given here. And we want to see if this reason is really different than a reason we've seen before that's been raised. Tosfos reads it slightly differently over here, because Rashi claims, and it's a little difficult, Rashi claims that we don't let him switch position, because if he says, I made a mistake in something that's mefurash in the Torah. So if he says, I made a mistake in something mefurash in the Torah, we should let him change his mind. Right? He should be allowed to change his mind. So here we say, no, we record the divrei mezakim to see exactly what his reasoning was. So we can't say, I made a mistake with something that's obvious in the Torah. But it also says in the end, wait, we do let him switch his position. We let him switch his position at the Gemara Din. Gemara Din, he's allowed to switch his position. So then why again? What's the purpose of recording this? Because in the end, he can't switch his position. So fine, he's locked in until the Gemara Din, but he can still switch his position. So you look at the end of the first Tosa, it says, the Yesh Lomar. Since it's not much of an afkamina here, they need patur v'chuvash on nidon, whether he's found innocent or guilty, el kadei she'achzor achar zchuto, that we just try to have this individual try to find something positive. They shouldn't have written it down, because he can reverse his position b'chol inyan. If you say you can never change your position, apashat gemar din, she'ish nafkuta, az roi lichtov. So the reasoning that you would write it down is because you want to lock the person into his position, he can never change it. Now, if you write it down and you think he can change it, you say, well, what's the purpose of writing it down? You say, well, because he has to stay in his position until the Gemara Din. So says that's not enough of a reason to have a snagna record all your statements, because you can change, in the end, if you can change your mind, why does it matter that we have to lock him in for a little while into his position? That doesn't seem to make so much sense. All right. Now the Gemara is going to go on a little tangent about this position, which is said, if they say one reason to make him innocent, but they derive the source from two different psukim, they only count as one reason. How do we know this? So, right, God spoke one item, meaning that the pasuk in the Torah, or some concept in the Torah, shtaim zushamati. You can derive two things from that pasuk, but it doesn't say, right, ki oz elokim, because strength is to Hashem. Mikra achad yotzei lekama te'amim. One pasuk can be interpreted in multiple ways. Ve'in te'am achad yotzei mikama mikraot. On the other hand, one idea or concept cannot be derived from multiple pasukim. Because then it should be, right, shtaim diber lukim, achad zu shamati. Right, that God said two things, but they all mean one. That's not what it says. It says God said one thing, and it means multiple ideas. So now we have Debe Yishmael Tano, Uche Fatish Yifotzeitz Sela. This is a famous quote, like the hammer that Yifotzeitz Sela. Now that's a good question about what the Yifotzeitz goes on. All we know is something broke over here. We don't know if it's the hammer that broke or the rock that broke. Obviously, Machokes of the brothers, Rabbeinu Shmuel, says the gears over here should be, in a second, the Gemara should be Michalek, right? That it's the rock that breaks, not the hammer that breaks. And the Rabbeinu Tam, his brother, argued on him and said, no, that over here means that the hammer hits the rock and slides off and breaks. So, Kfatish, Yitzveit Selam, Ma Patish Ze Michalek, the Kama Nitzotzot, just like hammer. When it smashes, so over here again, the Rabbeinu Shmuel's gear says Michalek the Kamenitzotzot, that the rock breaks into many pieces when you hit it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam says it's Michalek the Kamenitzotzot, is that the hammer itself shatters. So too, a pasuk can break up into or be shattered into many reasons, meaning that if that each pasuk has multiple interpretations, and that's what we say that. Shivim Panim the Torah, the idea that Torah has multiple interpretations and multiple perspectives, and that comes up with Fatish Yifotzeit Sela. So this is Machlokes, the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, and the Rabbeinu Tam, about whether it's the hammer that breaks or the rocks that breaks. It's also brought in Tosos and other places, in like Sukkah and other places of the Shas. It seems to be that according to some of the Rishonim, it actually happens to be a Machlokes Amoraim. Because Gemara in Sukkah sounds like much more so like the Rabbeinu Shmuel, that the rock is breaking. So it might be that it's even a machlokes amoraim of fatish yifotzeitz sela is what yifotzeitz is, yifotzeitz the patish or yifotzeitz is the sela which is breaking over here. What's the case where you have one reason that comes out of two psukim? So Gemara is now going to give three attempts to find it and only get there on the third time. We have a mishnah mizbeach mikadesh et ra'uy lo. Mizbeach, certain items that shouldn't have necessarily gone on the mizbeach, but they end up on there anyway. Once they end up on the mizbeach, they become kodesh and lo yared. We don't take them back down again; they stay there. Yeshua Amer, how do I know this? Kol ha-ro'i li'ishim im ala lo yared. Anything that is ra'oi to be put on the eish, on mizbeach, if it goes up, lo yared, right? It doesn't come back down again. Shenemar ha'ula al mokda. The Ola on the Mokta. Ma Ola Shehi Ra'uya Le'ishim. Just like the Ola should be on the Mokta. And the Moked is the fire. Right? So too, Im Alta Lo Tered. If it goes up, doesn't come back down. Av Koshu Ra'uya Le'ishim. Im Ala Lo Yered. Lo Yered. Right? If it goes up, it doesn't come down. Gamleo Merkola Ra'uya Le'mizbeach. Im Ala Lo Yered. Anything that's Ra'uya to end up on the Mizbeach, if it goes up, Lo Yered, it shouldn't come back down. Where is his pasuk? Shenemar hi haola al mokta al mizbeach. Right, so it's the ola on the fire on the mizbeach. Ma ola shi ru'uya legabi mizbeach. Just like the ola is ready to go on the mizbeach. Malta lo tereid. If it goes up, it won't come back down. You don't bring it down again. Af kol shehu ra'uy le mizbeach. Amala lo yereid. So too, anything that's ra'uy le mizbeach should not come back. V'tarvayu ma'ikem rabu. What are each of them including over here? Sulim. I mean, that it sounds from here that they would only allow kosher or karbanot that are kshirim on the mizbech. They long will come along, the pasuk tells you it's either ola or ishim. Anything that's ra'oi to end up on the ishim could have been ra'oi to end up on ishim. Doesn't mean that it can, but it was at one point ra'oi to end up on the fire. Or anything that was like an ola that was ra'oi to end up on the mizbech at one point in time, even though now it's invalidated because it became tameh. Or it's invalidated because it's pigul. Or as Mano, whatever the reason is, that psuloba kodesh, something that happens that it's psuloba kodesh, if it ends up in the mizbeach, it stays there, you don't bring it back down. But what do you see? They learn it out from two different psukim, but they come to the same conclusion. So this is Tanachad Mishnei Mikrot. And like I says, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Amar Maiti Lami Mokta. One of them, Rabbi Kiva brings it from, Rabbi Shua brings it from the word Mokta, fire. Amar Maiti Lami Mizbeach, Rabbi Gamliel brings it from the word Mizbeach. I says, what do you mean? Hata miflag plige. They really do argue in that case. Why is that? Tutani seifa. Ain bain divir Rabbi Gamliel, divir Rabbi Shua. There's one. They have an afkamina between them. What's an afkamina? Something that ends up in the mizbeach that doesn't go on the fire. What goes on in the mizbeach that doesn't end up in the fire? Dam and nisachim. Right, the nisachim are poured down the right a special channels or funnels they're on the side of the Mizbeach, and the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So these are two items that end up on the Mizbeach, but don't end up on the Eish, don't end up on the fire. So there is a nafkamina. If you have Dam Pasul, or you have Nisachim that are Psuim, if they go on the Mizbeach, do they come back down or not? That would be a nafkamina between Rabbi Shaul and Rabbi Gamil. So you can't say that they're learning the same thing from two different Psukim. They're actually learning two different things, because they actually have a machlokas between them. Rabbi Gamliel, who says that it's related to Mizbeach, says they don't come down. Rabbi Shua says it's related to Ishim, Omer Yerdu, because they don't go on the fire, these items. This is the case. Because it says, Kol Anogea b'Mizbeach Yigdash, anything that touches Mizbeach becomes Kodesh. Shomeani ben Ra'oi ben She'en Ra'oi, I would think that whether the item is Ra'oi, meaning that it was at some point Ra'oi to end up in Mizbeach, ben She'en Ra'oi, or even something that was never Ra'oi to go on Mizbeach, like a Shor Niskal, Nirba, Roveya, these are animals that, right, were Psulim Mi'ikara, that can never even be brought to the Mizbeach. Tamalomar Kivasim. Ah, makvasim ru'uim afkoroi, like kvasim, which are ru'uim to end up in his bech. So to anything that's ru'uim to end up in his bech. V'kilomer, ola. Ma ola ru'uya afkol aroi. He says, ola. But just like an ola is ru'uim to be on his bech, so too any ola. V'tavayu ma'ikememate. What are they excluding over here? Over there they're excluding psulei. Psulei meaning things that never were ru'uim, like deshta, they're never ru'uim to his bech. So mar ma'itila mikvasim, umar ma'itila mi'ola. One of them learns it out of the word kvasim, one of them learns it out of the word ola. But here we have the same din being learned out of two different words in the psukim. So where's this? Rama ravada brava. There is an afkamina between them. Olata of psula, ikebinayu. There is between them is an olata of. Why? If you say ola is the word, olata of is also an ola. If you say kvasim, kvasim are behemot. Then only behemot then end up in the mizbeach ark shirim, but not an olata of. So there is an afkamina between them. Olata of, the Tanakamo would say kvasim, right, is the qualification, therefore it cannot go on. Rabbi Akiva would say, no, it's an olah. An olah can't end up on the mizbeach. Okay, man, the maitlam kvasim, one who brings it, meaning the Tanakamo learns it out of the word kvasim, kvasim in, of olata of, lo. But that's not. Uman, the maitlam olah, the one who learns it of olah, Rabbi Akiva, filo olata of, nami. So that can't be the case where, right, it is a machloket, and therefore learning it out from the different words has an afkamina. You can't just say it's one tam from two different psukim. It's two different tamim from two different psukim. So now Gemara says, Elam Ravashi, here we go, we finally found it. Kedetanya, dam yechashev le'ishahu, dam shafach. So he's talking about shchutei and malei chutz, someone who brings a korban outside of the mikdash. So it says over here that dam yechashev le'ishahu, dam yishafach. The Rabot et hazorek divi Rabbi Yishmael. Which now says that this pasuk includes someone who does zrikat adam in the chiyuv of karet. Kivomer, no, that's not learned from here. It's learned from later on, the pasukim later on. Ozavach, the Rabot et hazorek. When it says ozavach, that he's maktiret, then he includes the zorek. So and when it comes to behemat chutz, there's karet for shchitat chutz, shechting it, and there's for maleh b'chutz, there's a chiyuv karet. Question is, what about the zorek? Where does zorek fall? When you're between shchita and maleh, you have zrikat adam. So where does zrikat adam fall? So Rabbi Shmuel says zrikat adam comes out from the psukim by shchita, which is dam yechashiv leishahu dam shafach. So Rabbi Kiva says no, ozabach comes out from the psukim by maleh b'chutz, someone who's maktir b'chutz. But tavayo ma'ika merabu, what are they both including? Zrika. Mar ma'itila midam yechashiv, or mar ma'itila me'ozabach. They're using two different psukim to teach you the same thing, which is Rikat Adam is also Chayav Karet. There is an afkamina between them. What happens if a person was both Shochet Bachutz and Zorek Bachutz be Helem Achat? In one forgetting, 1 minute, one Shogeg, he went ahead and he was Shochet Bachutz and he was Mazrik the Dam, Zorek the Dam, Bachutz. So now why is there enough nafkamina between them? The Debi Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, chayav alachat, he's only chayav one. Why? Where did you derive zrikat adam from? You derived it from shchitat adam, shchitat chutz. So you can't have, if you're learning from the same pasuk or the same chiyuv karet, the chiyuv karet for zrika and shchitat derived from the same pasuk. So you can't give him, he can't be a shogeg twice, he can't bring two karbanot for the same pasuk. So then it's going to be one punishment. The Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Chayiv Shtayim, according to Rabbi Akiva, where he learns Zrikat Adam from Male Bechutz, that you're Makri Bechutz, then when you do Shkita and Zrika, you're actually from two separate psukim that you're learning at the Karetz, and you'll be Chayiv too. But it says, Hayitmar Allah, Amar Abaye, we already have a statement on this by Abaye. Af the Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Einu Chayiv El Achat. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, you only Chayiv one. Why? The Makra, Sham Tale Olotechas and Dvarim. But it says by the Mikdash, it says, don't do what we do here today. Everybody does call Yashir Be'enav Taseh. But rather, Sham Tale Olotecha, you have to take it up to the Mikdash. Sham Taseh. And there you'll do all your Karbanot. So there it says, Arvinu Rachmana Lekulu Asiyot. Torah combined all Olot and Asiyot into one idea, that this is the Azhara. This is the warning. This is the Azhara that you're not allowed to do anything outside of the Mikdash. So you have one warning that has multiple kritot that are associated with it. Shchita, Zrika, Maleh Bechutz, but they all derive from this one Azhara. So if you only have one Azhara, and you have multiple manifestations of this Azhara, if you violate multiple manifestations, it's still only one Azhara. Do it here, and not outside of the Mikdash. So there, even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's one. So now we can end our case here. We finally found where we have the same issue, which is, how do you know you're chayiv karet for zrikat adam bachutz? So Rabbi Akiva learns it out of the word ozavach. Rabbi Shmuel learns it out of the words dam yichashev, right? Rather, dam yichashev, dam shafach. Dam shafach. Therefore, they come to the same conclusion. They both agree that zrikat adam is chayav karet. They both agree that zrikat adam bachutz will not be chayav karet if you're also chayav any one of the other items. And so now we have the exact same din being learnt out from two psukim. So this is the case.
But you see, it is possible.
It's not possible. The answer is one of them is wrong.
Okay.
Right. I mean, that's the answer. The answer is it's the same idea being learned from two psukim, which means one of them is wrong. I mean, only one of those two limudim is the right limud. And if it came to a capital case, we would say that they only have one reason over here. They don't have two reasons. That's exactly that. That's exactly what we're saying. That you can't, in this case, you can't have both of them. It's interesting that in these types of cases, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, about what comes first. Do they know the din, or do they know the pasuk? So in the Gemara, sometimes it's that they know the pasuk, there's something to learn out from here, they just don't know what the limud is, and they're searching for the limud. Sometimes they know what the limud is, they're searching for the source of the limud. So that's a feel over here. They know that Zrikat Adam is Chayav Karet. Now they're trying to find the source of the psukim. Rabbi Shmuel has one Masorah, Kiva has a different Masorah. But only one of them in the end, it can be right, because you can only learn it out of one pasuk. It's not necessary to learn it out of two psukim. That's the bottom line. Alright, Dinei Nevanot, Danim Beyom. Dinei Nevanot, you can dan during the day and gomer balayla. Whereas by Dinei Nefashot, you have to be dan during the day and gomer dayom. Menahani Miller, how do you know that by Dinei Mamonot, you have to do it during the day, and you can have gemar din b'layla. So I'm Rabbi Chiyah Bar Papa Damakra b'shafatu et ha'am b'cholet. This is by Yitro and Moshe. It says yishafatu et ha'am b'cholet. Iyachi b'cholet means what? Anytime, even at night. It says iyachi tchilat din ami. If you can do it anytime, why do you have to only have gemar din at night? Do anything, adjudicate the whole case at night. So okay, the Rabba Rami Ktiv, it says yishafatu et ha'am b'cholet. That's in Yitro that we just read. Uchtiv b'ya b'yom en chilo et banav. Yom HaNechilot Banav is the, right in the beginning of Pashat Ki Teitzei, when it's talking about giving over Yerusha, that you're not allowed, Lo Yivaker Et Ben Ahuva Al Pnei Ben Asnua, B'chor, you're not allowed to give it to the younger child, you're not allowed to favor the younger child in Yerusha. But there it says, Bayom HaBaya Bayom HaNechilot Banav, on the day that he's manchil to his children, and we'll see a second, that is dealing with Din. How do you reconcile the psukim? No, the pshat of the psukim is passively. When he gives over his possessions to his children, right? So we'll see in a second. The Gemara is going to touch. Hakeitzad yom tchilat din laila gemara din. The yom is for tchilat din, and the laila will be for gemara din. Matzita nechlo k'Rav Yemeir. Our mission is not like Rav Yemeir. It's not Rav Yemeir. Omer gmatan lomar al pihem yekori v'chol nago. It says in the psukim that the kohanim v'alivim that are there, that they are the ones who adjudicate all cases, Riv and Naga. It's at the end of, right, the previous parsha before, Parshat Ki Tetzeh, is a parsha of Eglah Arufa. So over there, in describing who comes, the Kohanim who come, or the, right, the Zekanim who come, it says, V'alpiyem, okay, Riv, V'chol Naga, that they are the ones who adjudicate all these types of cases. V'chima in Yerivim, it's on Negaim. What do monetary or civil cases have anything to do with Negaim? Ella, Mekish Rivim le Negaim. There's a hekesh between monetary disagreements and negayim, and the case of negayim, man negayim bayom, just like negayim can only be seen during the day, dichtiv, uvayom harod bal. that on the day that it is seen in it a nega, you can only look at the nega during the day. Afrivim beyom, so too, monetary cases can only be brought during the day. Uma negaim shlo besumim. And just like negaim can't be seen by a blind person, dichtiv lechomarei enei akohen, so obviously he has to see. Right, it's a little homer and a kohen. Afrivim shelo b'sumim. So too, when it comes to monetary matters, it can't be done by blind people. Umekish negaim l'rivim, and the other way around, negaim are hekahukash to rivim to monetary matters. My rivim shelo b'krovim. Just like rivim cannot, you can't have someone who's a karov be done your case. They're psulim liot dayanim when they're krovim. Af negaim shelo b'krovim. When it comes to negaim, you know you can't have krovim. You can't have relatives see your nega or a kohen who has to see the nega can't be a karov. Ima rivim b'shloshav, negaim b'shloshav. Ah, you want to make a hekesh? We learned earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to monetary matters, you need three judges. So let's say by negaim, you also need three judges, I mean three kohanim to do it. So Mar says, v'dinu memono b'shloshav gufo lo koshkin. When it comes to his monetary matters, we say you need three. When it comes to his own guf, certainly you should need three. Tamad omar, v'va el aron kohen, o el echad mi banav. Right, so when it says Aron HaKohen o echad mi banav, the only requirement is either Aron HaKohen or one of his children. So it says one. So there's a pasuk that specifically states otherwise that you only need one. Halamata shafil kohen echad v'et anigayim. Right now, Gemara is going to, it's on the sidebar about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is obviously not the author of our Mishnah because he already says that Dine Mamononos have to be done during the day, just like Nigaim have to be during the day. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah says it has to be started during the day, but it can be finished at night. So now, how was Samuel? It's this blind individual that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shiva Batei. The Rabbi Yochanan was in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood, Chatzer, Dabadayin Dira. He was adjudicating cases. Rabbi Yochanan lo midin. Rabbi Yochanan never disagreed or showed his displeasure or stopped him from doing such. So if Rabbi Yochanan did not intervene to stop over here, it must mean that he believes it was okay. So Rabbi Yochanan holds like a stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan holds like a stam mishnah. But tonight we have a mishnah. Kol hakasher ladun, kasher la'id. Anybody can adjudicate a case can also be a witness in the case. There's sometimes people who can be witnesses in the case but cannot be judges or adjudicate the case. What's the case where you are in kasher ladun? That is, when you're a suma me'achad me'anav, when you're blind in one eye. And Rabbi Yochanan thinks that when you're blind in one eye, you cannot adjudicate a case. You cannot be a dayan. Even though you're kasher to be an aid, you can't be a... You cannot be a dayan. So if that's the case, why is Rabbi Yochanan allowing this suma to go ahead and be a dayan in his neighborhood if he believes that a dayan who is blind is invalid? Rabbi Yochanan stamach min ashkach. He found a different stam. Dinim amonot danim b'yom v'gomrim b'layla. Dinim amonot are mishnah. You can start during the day, but you can finish them at night. So now the question is, what exactly is the proof from here? It's not so clear what the proof is. And we're talking about blind people, and then you mentioned Lila. What does Lila have to do with blind people? So obviously, what the Gemara is suggesting is that when the Mishnah says Lila, at light you cannot see properly, so too, during the day, you cannot, if a blind person cannot see. So if it's invalid or valid to do it at night, it will match up whether it's valid or invalid for a Summa to do it. And the Gemara is equating night to a daytime. For the Summa. Just like the Summa cannot see during the day, other people cannot see during the night. So if we permit you to have a Gemara din at night, we'd also permit a Summa to do such. Now I will tell you that it's not so clear to me that logic is not so clear. Tosus asks a little question. He asks a side question. He says, Tema, Dilma, Taima, the Masnisan, the Halcha, Mishum, Dechtiv, Shabtu, et Am B'cholet. You have a pasuk that specifically gives you a dispensation. About the Indian Suma, Makshin and Rivin, the Negayim. But when it comes to Suma, we don't have that dispensation, so maybe you should be disqualified. I would use the logic that the Gemara uses in other places. Kol ha'ro'oi le'bila, ein bila me'akevet. It means that if you can see, so the fact that you can't see in this instance doesn't posel you. The fact you can see means that even at night you can adjudicate the case because you can see when it's daytime. Other than when you're Suma, who can never see, that will invalidate him. So meaning that you could differentiate between Lila and Suma, that Lila is a temporary problem, whereas you can't see, just at this moment you can't see. Whereas Suma is a permanent problem, and therefore it should be, a Suma could be disqualified and have nothing to do with the fact that you can adjudicate at night, may have nothing to do with being a Suma. Right, that's a, again, the logic seems a little tenuous. There are others that try to explain that if Suma at night a regular person can see no better than a suma during the day, then that's the comparison here. All right. So Mara says, "My umay da haistama mahaistama." Now you have two stam mishnas. You have two stam mishnayot. Why would you favor one over the other? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Loch stam mishnah." Now why are we saying like this one? Ibai dema stama de rabbi madif. Why is the stam of the rabbim is better? Ibai dema mishum dekani la gabi hilchata de dino. It's written by the halachos of dinim. One stam mishnah, which is our mishnah right here, is written in the Masechet Sanhedrin. The other stam mishnah is written in Masechet Nida. So if I had to pick, when it comes to dealing with adjudication of cases at night, if I had to pick a stam mishnah, which one you would think have more tokef or veracity or weight associated with, you think the one that's found in Masechet Sanhedrin should get more weight. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. The fact that it can be done at night is found here in Masechet Sanhedrin. The one that's brought in Nida is a series of cases very similar in genre, that it's called a kasher is this, it's kasher that. What's kasher for this is not kasher for that. So to the genre that was brought over there, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily checked out so well or as given as much tokif. The other possibility, and the other answer is that it's stam rabim. Because the first mishnah we know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a suma is pasul ladun. So if Rabbi Meir is the one who says that a suma is pasul ladun, that means that when Rabbi Yochanan qualified that previous mishnah and said that who's a person that is kasher lahayid but not kasher ladun, that someone who is suma b'chad me'anav. Who's the person who told us that suma is problematic? That's Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is the author of that mishnah. And on the other hand, who's the author of our mishnah? Well, if it's not Rabbi Meir, it's those that argue Rabbi Meir, it's the chachamim. So you have two stam mishnah. One stam mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. The other stam mishnah is like the chachamim. So we're going to go with the stam mishnah that is upholding or presenting the position of the chachamim. Right now, Rabbi Meir haiva shafatu et ha'am b'cholet my darish be. Now Rabbi Meir uses a hekesh to teach us when you can have a dinei mamononot. And before we had Rava who said, well, you have a shafatu et ha'am b'cholet and you have a yom b'yom hechilo et banav. You have two psukim to teach you that you can only do it during the day and finish the night. But Rabbi Meir doesn't need those two psukim because he learns it out from the hekesh between the gayim and revin. So now what does he do with those two psukim? So what does he do for shafatu et ha'am b'cholet my darish be yom rava le tuye yom ha'me'unan? They tell you even on a cloudy day, the Tzidan, ain't ro'im et negayim shachit ben arvayim. You're not allowed to see negayim during the morning or in the afternoon. V'lo mitoch habayit, and not inside the house. V'lo b'yom ha'me'unan, and not on a cloudy day. Mipnei shekeha nir'eit azah. Because in those instances, that which is lighter will look darker. V'lo b'tzarayim, and not in the evening. Because azan nirat keha, something that's very bright, looks somewhat diminished. Its color, the vibrancy of its colors are diminished because of the sunlight. So you have too much sunlight, too much bright light, then that which would look otherwise being brighter or being enough to be a nega will look lighter, and you will consider it not a nega. If you look at it in the morning or in yom ha'munan when there's not so much sun and not so much light, then you're going to look at the color. The color is going to seem to be much more vibrant and brighter than it really is, and you're going to make it into a negatame when you shouldn't. Right? This is as nafkamino today for nida. When you do marot nida, you have to be careful in which lighting to look at the marot nida again, because the color spectrum will change depending on what the light that is being shed on the color is, and it'll look darker or lighter based on the light. So the Rabbi Meir, hi, b'yom hanchilot banav mayav delay. So now, obviously, what does he do with the other pasuk? Vayav b'yom hanchilot banav. Ha'um mibayilei diktani. He needs that for this. The Rabba bar Chanina kameid Rav Nachman. This is for the statement was made by Rabbi bar Chanina before Rav Nachman. Vayav b'yom hanchilot banav. B'yom atam b'pil nachlot. V'yatam b'pil nachlot b'layla. You can only do the distribution of distributing the nachlot during the day and not at night. So here when we talk about distributing of nachalot, so it should be that anytime someone inherits, they should only, if they die during the day, their children will inherit them. They die at night, their children will not inherit them. What's that mean? Someone says, Dilma din nachalot kamart. Maybe you mean din nachalot. So the difference between din nachalot and nachalot is a very big difference. Because if you say nachalot, nachalot means anything to do with inheritance. Anything to do with inheritance has to be done during the day. Then what? Again, if the person dies during the day, his children will inherit, night he won't. Or din nachalot means when there's something to adjudicate. Where Beis Din has to do something with nachalot, they should only do that during the day. The Tanya. This is the case. It's the case of Shchemira. Aitav l'bnei Yisrael l'chukat mishpat. This should be from Israel Chukat Mishpat. Ura kol parsha kula liot din. Right, this parsha is also all coming to teach us about din. Like Rabbi Yehuda says, three people came in to visit someone who was sick on his deathbed. Ratzu kotvim, ratzu osim din. You can either one of two. These they can act as edim, and they can then document what the shchimira is saying, and then give it to a beis din to be validated or to carry out the instructions. Ratzu osim din, or they then if they're three, they can make themselves into a beis din, and they themselves can execute the words of the shchimira. Shnayim, if it's only two individuals that go into the Shchemira, Kotvim and Osim Din, then they're limited. They're not a Beis Din, so they can only do one thing. They can document that which the Shchemira says. Vram Rav Chista, Loshanu El Bayom. That's only during the day. Aval Balayla, Kotvim and Osim Din. Mishum Da'abalu Edim. So if three go in during the daytime, then we say they have a choice of being Dayanim or a choice of being Edim. But if they go in at night, they only have one choice, and that's to be Edim, because din of nachla can only be done during the day. Be'ein aid nase dayan. Now, once they already became edim, they themselves cannot execute on this because the aid themselves cannot become a dayan later on. I mean, if up front they decided to be dayanim and they want to execute it, fine. But if in the beginning they took the testimony of the shchimira as edim, as witnesses, and documented it, then they later can't go then and say, ah, here's the document, we're going to go execute the document because we're a dayanim now. They can't switch from being edim, they can't change their hats. They're wearing from aid to be dayan. So Malay in Hachi Kamina, that's what I meant to say. When I said the word nachalot, I didn't literally mean nachalot, any type of inheritance. I meant biyom, meaning that I meant din nachalot. I meant anything to do with adjudication or execution of nachalot. That can only take place during the daytime. So the distribution, again, distribution of the nachalot in Eretz Yisrael were only done during the daytime. And so too, if there's something to distribute or execute on the instructions of a shchimira when it comes to nachalot, we only do that during the day, we don't do it at night. Tosas asks an interesting question over here. Tosas says, wait a minute. The idea that Dvarav Shel Shchimira Ketuvim U'Misurim Dami is only a Dinder Abonon. So how could you be over here? You're dealing with a Dinder Abonon. And the Gemara is I'm trying to bring a pasuk to say that a din can only be done during the day and a din can't be done at night. Why should it have anything to do with this? It's all din derabbanan. How can you bring a pasuk from the Torah? So the Tosfos says that you have to sarach ukme kra. The pasuk has to be done in a case shehikne. The divrei shchimira alav kiktuvim misurim derami elu midrabbanan. So there has to be the case in the pasuk where you say beyom hanchilo et banav. At the case where he's trying to distribute his property as a shchimira, has to be a case where he makes a kinyan. They make a kinyan on it. So if they do a kinyan chalipin or some sort of kinyan, that formalizes the gift of the shchimira and makes it a full-fledged gift with a kinyan with a gemira tadat. So if it's a shchimira who's just saying over what he wants, giving instructions, that's a dinder abonon that you execute on it. On the other hand, when it comes to documenting or making a kinyan that's gemira tadat, that'll mean even min haTorah. So that's what the Tosfos suggests over here, the pasuk over here. When you want to suggest the pasuk coming out of Shchimira distributing his property, has to be a case where they made a kinyan to elevate it to a Doraisa level gift. So Doraisa level gift, then you can be talking about Biyom Hachilo et Banav. Alright, we'll just do quickly here this next piece to the two dots. So here we have Dine Fasho Danim Biyom, Rein Danin Balaila, Rein Gomim Balaila. Nani, Mele, how do we know this? I'm Rabsimi Barchia Markwa. Vohoka Utam Lashem Neged HaShomesh. That you hang them up, Neged Hashem, in the sunlight. When the sun's out, they're hanging. When the sun's not out, you're not. Don't hang them. So over here, the pasuk they're quoting is from the Parshat Pinchas, or the end of Parshat Masay, where those that worship Baal Peor, Shem says, that you have to hang them up. I mean, that those people that did wrong, they have to be brought before the Shemesh. How do you know that hokah is hanging? This is the story with David HaMelech. There was a problem there was a magifah that was affecting Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to find out what the problem was, and he found out the problem was that the Shaul and his family had done something wrong to the Givonim, and they had mistreated the Givonim. How they mistreated the Givonim is subject to a question. One of the possibilities was when they killed out Ir Nova Kohanim, they took away their parnasa. By killing out Ir Nova Kohanim and doing that, they ruined the parnasa of the Givonim. Therefore, they did something they had wrong to the Givonim. So what was it they had to do in order to write that? The Givonim wanted some of the Zerah of Shaul to hang. So to bring up. So that's what David HaMelech does. He comes and brings them these seven grandchildren of Shaul HaMelech, and then they go ahead and they hang them up. It says there, V'okanam HaShem B'givat Shaul B'chir HaShem, they hung them in the valley. V'chtiv, V'tikach Ritzpa Bataya et Asak, V'tateo Lai Latzur B'tkilat Katzir. So Ritzpa was a pilegish of Shaul, goes ahead and sits by the bodies, and she chases away all the birds of prey that come to eat the bodies. She stays there from day and night, and she shoos them away. Later on, David hears of her tremendous tzidkut. He says, enough is enough. He takes them down, he buries them, and he also brings the bones of Shaul and Yonatan and buries them all together in their Nachla of the kings. And it says, V'yomer Shemu Moshe, kach et kol Roshei Ha'am, im Ha'am chatu, Roshei Ha'am ma'chatu. Right, it says, wait, why do you have to take the Roshei Ha'am? If the people did something wrong, why are you taking the Roshei Ha'am? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, chalek lahem batei dinim. Set up courts. My time. What do you need courts for? Ilim mishum shein danim shnayim biyom echad. Because a court can't do two cases in one day. From Rav Chisa, lo shana lo shtei mitot. It's only when they give me different death penalties. Aval mimita achat. And Rashi adds in the word vavera achat. It's one death penalty and the same avera. Then they can't do it. Elikdei sheyashuv charon af miyisrael. In order that the charon af be removed. From Bnei Yisrael, they have to show that they're making an effort to deal with these people. Hashem is mekoneh right now. He's kinat Hashem, but these people that worship the Avodah Zarah. So if we're mekoneh on behalf of Hashem, then Hashem will charon af Hashem will be the anger of Hashem will be reduced or dissipate because he sees us doing what we need to do. So we're active in setting up dinim and getting the Rosh Ha'am to adjudicate these cases, then he'll say fine. But if we're just lazy about it and taking care of it, then Hashem will punish us. So that's what it means, get the Rosh Ha'am. Get the Rosh Ha'am involved here so they are chared l'dvar Hashem. And so from here we learn that when's din done? Din's only done during the day because Kanuam was lifnei Hashemesh. They were hung up in front of the sun, so only when the sun's out are we allowed to have dinei nefashot. We learned that out from the descendants of Shaul that were hung by David, because it's, and we know they're out in the open. I mean, what does it mean, behokanum? Behokanum means that they were hung because we know that Ritzpah had to sit there to chase away the birds. The fact that she had to chase away the birds shows you that they were out in the open. Over there, they actually were hung from numerous, for a long time, for a period of time, a whole season that they were hanging out there. And what about the fact that it says, Lotalin, right? Nivlatcha, you're not allowed to leave a body overnight on the tree hanging. There, the Gemara Dashin's Mutav, right? Mutav, that we should violate one Yisur in the Torah in order that there should not be Chilul Hashem, in order that Hashem's name should not be Mechulal, that we should be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, that the Gibonim who felt there was a slight by the hand of Shaul towards them, and that was a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So we're better that we are Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and give them what they want, and violate one Yisur in order that the Shem Hashem should be Nitkadesh. Okay, we'll stop over here.